Welcome to the Freedom Report.
What I love about Austin Peterson is his love of the battle. He wants to fight.
Austin was, of course, the rabble-rouser, just to make sure I stayed Rothbardian.
We live in a world fraught with danger, and there is a certain amount of danger that the public must endure in order to secure the blessings of liberty.
For economic freedom and personal liberty. My next guest is wrote a piece over at basepolitics.com who argued that the video clip that you just saw of Steven Crowder and Alex Jones saying they're anti-libertarian means that they agree with Michael Moore's definition of capitalism. He's Jack Hunter, and he's joining us on the phone right now. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Austin.
Yeah, glad to have you here. So what's the basis for your piece here? How could you go from Alex Jones and Steven Crowder saying they're anti-libertarian to saying that they agree with Michael Moore's view of capitalism? Can you explain?
I can. And look, I'm not somebody, you know, I'm a conservative, I'm a libertarian, I'm a free marketeer, I'm somebody who believes in capitalism. I'm not looking to pick a fight with my fellow libertarians or conservatives. Steven Crowder obviously is a conservative comedian who many know and, you know, great report and a good guy in many ways. Alex Jones is controversial, has been in court lately, and, you know, some people like him, some people have a problem with him. I'm not looking to pick a fight with these guys. But there's been a trend on the right in recent times in which national conservatives, whatever you want to call them, have been trying to pick a fight with libertarians, and in particular, trying to demean free markets or free market capitalism and be pro-government. And so Steven Crowder took it upon himself to share a clip from an interview with he and Alex Jones saying why Alex Jones and I are anti-libertarian. And in this clip, it's under a minute. They basically say, he says, and Alex Jones agrees with it and expands on it, that if you believe in free markets and capitalism, you support a system in which big government is in cahoots with big corporations, and that's somehow capitalism, and they're against that, and libertarians are for that. I called that out explicitly, and you mentioned Michael Moore. I tied that in with about a decade ago. Michael Moore was doing a Q&A for his documentary Capitalism, a Love Story, in which he denounces capitalism and free markets and defines it as big government being in cahoots with big corporations, and that's what he calls capitalism. Well, that's what Crowder and Jones did in that clip that Crowder shared while calling himself anti-libertarian. I was just pointing out that this progressive leftist who hates free markets and capitalism was defining capitalism the same way that Steven Crowder and Alex Jones, people who are right-leaning, were also defining it in that clip. And I think that tells you a little bit about where they're coming from when they denounce free markets and capitalism and libertarians.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking to Jack Hunter, who's on the line with us this morning. You can text in the program at 573-319-1586. A little earlier on the show, Jack, I played a clip of Bill Clinton where he was being interviewed talking about whether or not the neoliberal excesses of the 1990s led to white working class voters being left out. You probably remember the old meme that went around the internet where it was called Learn to Code, where liberals were attacking, you know, white working class voters, you know, saying that, you know, if they lose their coal mining jobs because they, you know, they overregulate, then maybe you should learn to code. Well, you know, of course, that got turned around full face. But I mean, you know, the question is, you know, what do we do, Jack, unfortunately, where you have this, you know, white working class voters who, you know, many of them voted for and supported Donald Trump because he promised to make America great again. You know, these people feel left out by the new digital information economy because, you know, they don't know how to code. You know, they don't know how to, you know, run a live stream podcast like we're doing right now. And many of them feel as if, you know, they would like to return to an economy where, you know, they can make widgets in a factory again, Jack. You know, maybe we can go back to that. Maybe we can't. But those people have concerns that are real and valid, and they see libertarians as not providing a solution to that. So what would you say to that?
I think that's a fair way of looking at the, you know, the current state of the economy, where the labor market is and whatnot. Look, our friend Austin Glenn Jacobs, formerly Kane of the WWE, he's the current mayor of Knoxville County in Tennessee. When he ran his campaign as a libertarian-leaning Republican, focused on vocational education, A lot of these technocratic elites and whatnot will focus on, oh, learn to code and all these things are really kind of out of step with people, especially if you're older and you've been in the labor market for a while. And it's really unrealistic to expect people to embrace something like that. But the idea of manual labor and working with your hands and promoting vocational education, not only is that wise, it's something that's very needed in the market. It's something that people can wrap their heads around, the working class, and something that pays well at this point. You know, a lot of people with liberal arts education who have a lot of student debt right now are not doing jobs that have anything to do with what they went to school for. But there's a lot of people out there that do know how to be handy and work with their hands and understand the labor market in a way that's really hands-on. Manual labor, however you want to look at it, that can find good jobs right now because they're much needed. So I think that's a good focus. Whatever Bill Clinton said when he said it, you know, that's typical Bill Clinton. But I think that's realistic, what I just said, to sort of focus on those things and how everyday average middle American people can find work that they can support their families and themselves.
Now, Jack, you know, we sometimes get made fun of by conservatives because, you know, they say we're not willing to fight back. You know, we have a situation where, you know, I am always on the edge of being banned from social media. Jack, if you look at my list, if you look at my list of violations on Facebook, it's page after page after page, 30-day ban, 90-day ban, 60-day ban, you know, 3-day ban. And every once in a while, something will be rescinded because it's an algorithm. But, you know, I know that there's somebody whose job it is to watch Austin Peterson all day and what he posts. So they, you know, but conservatives will say, you know, these social media companies are your enemy. You know, what are you going to do about the fact that they're essentially in bed with government, right? They call this jawboning, where, you know, the Biden administration goes to, you know, the FBI sends out people to Facebook and tells Mark Zuckerberg, hey, you know, there's going to be Russian disinformation. You guys need to pull back on the, you know, any disinformation you might see. And then, you know, one of the biggest stories that might have changed the outcome of the last election, you know, gets suppressed, the Hunter Biden laptop story. So, I mean, you know, what is the libertarian response to social media companies essentially doing the bidding of government?
Well, there's multiple ways we can look at this. You know, the national conservatives, which is a rising thing on the right, want to use antitrust legislation to basically go after private corporations and dictate what they can say, what they can't say. I disagree with that. And I'm somebody who, like you, Austin, I will be censored on Facebook or Twitter for posting things like Rand Paul wants to spend less money, federal money, like something that
missing context.
Right. Missing context, goes against community standards, you name it. Something like that. They're basically censoring basic political speech, which our First Amendment guards against the private corporations. It is what it is. What I would argue is that these platforms lose power over time when they do things like this. I remember a time when all of us were on MySpace and this new thing called Facebook popped up. It's like, why would we leave MySpace? MySpace where it's happening, right? You have companies like Rumble who are trying to rival YouTube. And a lot of conservatives and right-leaning people are going there because YouTube will censor, you know, just basic political speech as I just described. And Rumble is growing exponentially. So I think that's the market is always the best answer. Those who disagree want to, you know, put their hands in the free market. Forget the fact that if their government cronies are in power, which they're not right now, but if, let's say, you know, Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis is in power, and that's the people who are deciding how you regulate speech on social media. Well, that's all fine and good. But you know what? Kamala Harris might be in charge of that right now. I don't want any government cronies in charge of that kind of thing. I want us to be able to have free speech in the way that the First Amendment intended and the founders intended. And, you know, that includes the government not censoring speech and also private companies that, you know, Facebook and Twitter are the common square, whatever you're going to call it. It's where we talk and disseminate ideas and whatnot. They are private companies, but at the same time, the market will speak for itself. And if they censor enough and people feel like they can't say anything, other things will come along, just like Facebook overtook MySpace and like Rumble's growing big time right now. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah. And the market is speaking. I'm glad you brought that up, Jack. And for those who are on Rumble, just so you know, we are streaming this show live on Rumble as well. Make sure that you follow me over there at AP4Liberty. But Jack, the market is speaking. Meta, you know, Facebook, they're losing. I think they lost over 2/3 of their value of their stock market price just in the last month alone. Billions and billions of dollars lost. Is the real problem, though, Jack, the fact that, you know, many conservatives are like a lot of leftists, they're not willing to wait for the market to work. They want the government to do something. They have a problem now. They want the government to solve the problem right now.
Well, I think that's exactly right. The problem with the national conservatives is they have a fetish. They want to be anti-libertarian, first and foremost. It's like not wanting to be the most punk rock guy when you're in high school, right? It's a fad. So in doing that, they're like, we hate markets. We hate capitalism. We hate competition. And they want the government to come in. They want to do a version, a right-wing version of what Democrats have always done and, you know, progressives. We want to have a vision of society that's progressive, that's woke, or whatever the hell they're doing. And they want to use the power of government, state levers, to impose that on everybody. I think that's ridiculous. I'm an American. I love my country. I'm a conservative. And the history of American conservatism is enforcing the Constitution and limits on the power of government. That is what American conservatism has meant for as long as I've been alive or anybody listening to this interview right now. And if we lose that, if we decide we're just going to be a left version of what Democrats have always done, we love the New Deal. We love all these government programs. We love government censorship. We want to do a version of what they're doing. We've lost the whole thing.
Now, Jack,
I think it's ridiculous.
I agree with you, Jack. Now, we're running out of time, but there is one more little topic on that I'd like to build. And this is just something that I've been going over in my head. And quite frankly, you're maybe one of 10 people that I can have this discussion with. So since I got you on the line, I'm going to ask you about this. Is this sort of kind of a version of what the neocons did back in, like, you know, the 1970s or 80s, in the sense that, you know, remember the argument that Bill Buckley made when he talked about fighting Soviet Russia? And what he said at the time was that in order for us to fight communism, the reason for the not the space race, but the reason for the nuclear arms race, or the arms race between the United States and Russia, the reason we had to have massive spending during the Reagan era, for example, is because in order for us to fight communism, you know, we're going to have to instill a little bit of communism, right? We're going to have, in order for us to beat communism, we're going to have to spend like communists. Is that what the national conservatives are essentially doing? Just kind of like, you know, not really instituting a philosophy so much as what they consider a tactic to be able to advance their ideas? Because, you know, it's not new for us to hear from right wingers or people who call themselves or conservatives or Republicans, well, you know, we have to abandon the free market to save the free market. You know what I mean?
I absolutely know what you mean. And Austin, you nailed it 1,000% on the head. The neoconservative argument during the Bush-Cheney era was that, you know, big government was okay, especially fighting the war on terror and what we need to do. We have to spend all this money and we have to adopt basically the same strategy as progressives and the Democratic left, because this is where we are. This is what we have to do. The national conservatives are doing this version of the same thing. And as I mentioned earlier, I know we're running out of time. Historical American conservatism is protecting the Constitution, pushing and reminding people of the boundaries of the federal government as defined by our Constitution. National conservatives want to be a more European version of that. Well, not any version of that. They want to be a European version of the right that, you know, uses the social welfare state to push for right-wing ends. The neoconservatives 20 years ago wanted to do it for warmongering ends. And it's the same thing. Look, the libertarian perspective, which I think is historical American conservatism, is defined by the founders, coming up through Ron Paul. Ronald Reagan said that libertarianism is true American conservatism. Donald Trump had aspects of libertarianism that were very important in his formula. All that needs to be we need to remind our fellow Americans of. We need to push it. We need to promote it. And that is far more important than trying to copy the Democrats. The neoconservatives did it. The national conservatives did it. And it's a mistake from the get-go.
Yes. Okay, Jack. Now, I'm going to go ahead and punch through and give you a little bit more time here. And I know that this is really, maybe this is just really petty of me, but don't you just love the irony of all these people who are anti-libertarians who like to post Ron Paul clicks whenever it gets them clips and say, oh, Ron Paul is right. Ron Paul is right. But then they somehow call themselves anti-libertarians.
Yeah, they're posting Ron Paul clips, and then next breath they're like, FDR was right about the New Deal. You know, we just spent all this money on making sure the Catholic Church is in charge of the federal government when they can't even get in charge of their own Catholic Church, and they hate the Pope. And like, it's totally stupid. It is totally high school, middle school BS.
Jack Hunter, you write great articles. Thanks so much for sharing it over at Base Politics. We're glad to see you're still in the fight. You're a good man. We appreciate your time today.
Take care, Austin.
Thank you very much. Boy, that is good stuff. That is good stuff. We love to hear from Jack Hunter over there. You don't get that kind of content in very many places here. No, that's why you got to listen to the Wake Up America show. Don't you think it's great? You know what I really loved seeing here just a minute ago was when I mentioned Rumble, and how we are live streaming this on Rumble. Three new people just followed me over on Rumble because we are live streaming over there. If you want to get away from big tech censorship, vote with your feet. Right? Yeah, we're streaming on Facebook. Yeah, we're streaming on YouTube and all these other platforms. You know, you get to choose. I'm trying to make this show as available as possible. Yeah, we're on Spotify. Yeah, we're on all these other networks. But if you want to vote with your dollars, vote with your time and your attention, if you're on Rumble, follow us, AP for Liberty. Watch the show over there. Give us a Rumble, right? That's basically an upvote over there or a like wherever you're at. We appreciate you very much for watching the Wake Up America show. When we get back, I'm going to read the responses to the question of the day. You can still get yours in. Men, what is something that you wish other men would stop doing? This question is for the men. Text me in 573-319-1586. Men, tell me, what is something you wish other men would stop doing? I'll read your responses when we get back on the Wake Up America show at wakeupamericashow.com.